Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Welcome to Season 2. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello and welcome back, everyone. I did take a quick break and I am back with my weekly podcast, Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. Today, this is episode 1 of season 2. The Last Days of Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. So welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. If you haven't listened to season 1, you might want to just go back and binge season 1 to get caught up to season 2. Season 2, we are starting out when it really gets pretty scary, where the kids eventually are last seen. So this episode is the last days of Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. So before we get back into the timeline of this case, I want to go over Chad's dark and light rating system. According to my research and my amazing resources, Justin Lum, Fox 10 Phoenix is a fabulous resource, and Nate Eaton of East Idaho News are fabulous resources. There was a document that Chad had sent to Lori back in October of 2018. And the email from Chad, it explains his dark spirits, light spirits belief system. So Chad believes that people are reborn or graduate to the next level when they essentially die. The document gives us the levels of how Chad rates everyone. What he sent in this information to Lori was explaining to her the dark and light spirits and family history information. And then he gave her family all a rating. So Chad has this belief system where he labels everybody and gives the numbers. And supposedly he knows how many people are on the planet are rated, you know, 2 to 6. So he says twos, there's billions and billions of twos, billions of males, billions of females rated 2. Rated 3, 700,000 males and 2.3 million females. And then a 4.1, there's 70,000 males and 130,000 females. A 4.2, there's 7,000 males and 13,000 females. A 4.3, there's 700 males and 1,300 females. A 5.1, there's 133 males and only 4 females. A 5.2, there's 71 males, 0 females. A 5.3, there's 0 and 0, no males, no females that are rated 5.3, and then a 6. There's 6 males and 2 females. He says in here, most LDS members are level 2. Most bishops and ward leaders are level 3. Most stake presidents and general authorities are level 4. Most apostles are level 5. A few are level 6. The dark side can only match the light numbers, not exceed them. So for every light, there is a dark, but not more dark than lights, according to this. And then it says, that's why there are few fives on earth right now. It limits the dark's power. Twos and threes are fluid and can change sides during their earthly life. 4.1 and above have made covenants to their side. They rarely switch sides. So then Justin Lum has the document that was given to Lori that rates everybody in her family. And here's the ratings for Lori's family. Barry Cox is Lori's dad. He got a 3 light. Janice Cox is a 3 light. Stacy, who is her deceased sister, Lori's deceased sister, was a 3 light on Earth and has graduated to a 4.1 light. Alex Cox is a 2 light. Adam Cox is a 3 light. Laura was a 3 light on Earth, and she graduated to a 4.1 light. Laura was a baby, I believe, that the family had that died in infancy. Lori is a 4.3 light. Summer Shiflett, Lori's sister, is a 3 light. Her husband is a 2 light, but borderline a 2 dark. Lori's first husband is a 2 light. Her second husband, William LaGoya, is a 2 dark. Her son, Colby Ryan, is a 3 light, and his wife, Kelsey Ryan, is a 3 dark. Her third husband, Joseph Ryan, who we know had a suspicious, untimely death, is rated a 4.3 dark, and he is now sealed away, which I suppose means he can't ever come out of being a 4.3 dark. He's just stuck there wherever he is in death. I don't know. Obviously, you can see the pattern here, right? Then, Lori's daughter, Tylee Ryan, who is Joe Ryan's daughter as well, is rated a 4.1 dark. Charles Vallow was rated a 3 light. His first wife was rated a 2 dark. And then Charles' son, Cole Vallow, is rated a 3 dark. And his son, Zach, is rated a 3 light. And Joshua J.J. Vallow is a 4.2 light. When this document was sent to her back in 2018. Remember, this is well before all this went down. Before. Then he also rates Lori's niece, Melanie Boudreaux, at the time was her name. She's a 3 light. Her husband, Brandon, 3 dark. Their 4 kids. The boys are 3 light. The older girl is a 3 light. And the youngest girl gets a 4.1 light. So all of Melanie's kids got good ratings. So that, keep in mind, look at where he rates the darks. They're obviously the people he and Lori have a problem with or want to get rid of or whatever as this whole thing goes on. It's pretty bizarre. Remember Brandon Boudreaux. That one's important. And obviously Tylee.
The story reads like a movie script. Fox 10 has uncovered more documents sent from a doomsday author to the mother of 2 missing kids more than a year ago. These communications between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell are, in a word, disturbing. Fox 10's Justin Lum joins us live with what we've learned.
John, we've been researching this information for months now. What appears to be Chad Daybell's beliefs sent to Lori Vallow nearly a year before her kids just disappeared. Multiple sources tell me Chad believes he can judge light and dark spirits, ultimately at the time influencing his future wife, Lori Vallow. On the morning of October 30th, 2018, Lori Vallow receives this email from Chad Daybell. It's unknown exactly how long the two communicated leading up to this message, which reads, "Here are the family history documents you requested. The attachments include a rubric explaining how there are light and dark spirits showing levels of estates. The source tells me Chad believes people are reborn or graduate to the next level when they essentially die. The document says most LDS members are level 2 and the dark side only matches the light. Strange to say the least."
But how can anybody believe this stuff?
The thing is when you have some of these gifts, it gets real tricky because you're not living in one dimension. You're living in multiple dimensions. And Chad's had 2 near-death experiences. So his veil is kind of open, but not completely.
Julie Rose says Chad Daybell, a doomsday author himself, never brought up this system when he published her books. But by 2018, she says he changed and claimed he could see the light and dark in people. His ideas eventually reached Lori. Another attachment lists her family tree. It includes her parents, siblings, past husbands, and of course her kids. Tylee Ryan, Lori's daughter, labeled as a 4.1 dark spirit. Tylee's dad, Joseph Ryan, who died in 2018, also dark and sealed away. But Lori's adopted son, JJ Vallow, a light spirit, level 4.2. And Lori, on the light side, according to Chad Daybell. His old friend says he's off base.
But you cannot just go and test and say, okay, this person is a 4.1 dark.
The twisted timeline evolves 3 months after Lori receives these documents. In February 2019, her husband Charles files for divorce, accusing Lori of threatening his life and calling herself a translated being. On July 11th, Charles is shot dead by Lori's brother, Alex Cox, who tells Chandler police it was self-defense. By September, Lori moves JJ and Tylee to Rexburg, Idaho, living minutes away from Chad. The siblings have been missing for several months.
So now, let's get into the timeline. We left off when Lori moved to Rexburg, Idaho. And the affidavit that was in the FOIA documents, it noted that Lori moved to Rexburg on or about September 1st, 2019, with her children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow, and her brother, Alex Cox. Lori resided with her children at 565 Pioneer Road, Unit 175, Rexburg, Idaho. Alex resided in the same complex. Initially, he lived in the same unit with Lori, but then he moved into his own unit at 565 Pioneer Road, Unit 107. Melanie Gibb is a big witness in this entire thing. She was on the stand and we saw some amazing testimony, and she's been interviewed a couple times. And she's the one that came up with the original zombie email, which we will get to, that was sent to me eventually. Lori, so there's a lot of talk about Melanie Gibb and these documents. And when Melanie Gibb was giving this information to the police, she said she informed them that Lori had called Tylee a zombie in the spring of 2019. Melanie Gibb at that time was on the phone with Lori and heard Lori call Tylee a zombie. And Tylee responded and said, "Not me, Mom." So obviously Tylee knew what this whole zombie thing meant. The whole reason during this conversation, apparently Lori had asked Tylee to babysit JJ and she didn't want to. So then she labeled her a dark zombie spirit. Lori told Melanie Gibb that Tylee had turned into a zombie when she was 12 or 13, which was approximately the same time Tylee had become difficult. Now, Kay and Larry Woodcock were investigating because they had been trying to get a hold of their grandson, JJ. It was becoming very frustrating for them. Here's a little snippet of an interview where they're talking about this.
You were in communication with police and investigators because you wanted to find JJ and Tylee.
Yes. In September, I believe we learned that they moved to Idaho, but I still didn't have an apartment number.
On September 3rd, 2019, Lori enrolls JJ at Kennedy Elementary School in Rexburg, Idaho. Eventually, niece Melanie, Melanie Boudreaux, moves into the unit right next door to Lori. Her apartment was located at 565 Pioneer Road, number 174. Melanie Gibb was told by Lori that she enrolled Tylee at BYU, Idaho. Obviously, that was not true. Tylee did have her GED, I believe, and which is fine, but Lori lied, as Lori is very noted to do. But they checked the records and Tylee was never enrolled at BYU. The same day that she enrolled JJ at Kennedy Elementary School in Rexburg, she and Alex Cox exchanged this text message. September 3rd, 2019, at 10 o'clock in the morning, Alex sent Lori a text asking what she was doing. Lori responded, "Working on Z's. What did you decide on username and password?" Alex would tell Lori that he was proud of her and states, "No more Z's." So they're referring to zombies by the letter Z. Lori replied, "We are trying to get to the bottom of what we need to do to eliminate them completely." And there's a heart emoji. "I'm sure you will be told also," another heart emoji. Alex then stated, "I am going to go get lunch and then probably go to the range to sight my to sight in my rifles. And then the following string of texts. Maybe I'll try to change my voice so you know which who's who, but we'll see how it goes. So Lori, "Bad news on our brother." Alex, "What's that?" Lori, "Z." Alex, "Really? When was that?" Lori, "As of early January." Alex, "That explains his interest in Charles." Lori, "Ned recruited him shortly after. This is why." Remember, Ned, Nick Schneider, is the zombie that supposedly took over Charles's body. Side note there. So again, Lori says, "Ned recruited him shortly after. This is why." Lori says again, now, Lori says, "He's part of the 24. Alex says, "That made sense. Wow." Lori, "More sad news. Guess who is the final Z of the 24? Alex says, "Pops or Brandon?" Alex says, "Adam?" Lori says, "Nope. Think of Judas, who loved me completely, then turned against me." Alex says, "Tell me." Lori, "Yes, our sweet Zach. He is in paradise, the real Zach. It finally makes sense." Alex, "When did that happen?" Lori, "About the time he turned. Makes sense. He is being dedicated to Brandon and Ned." Brandon is Melanie Boudreau's husband at that time, or a soon-to-be ex-husband. Alex says, "So February?" Lori says, "Yep." Alex says, "How did Zach die, or was he forced out?" Lori, "It's crazy, I know, but it's sad and true. Now we know all 24. Lori says, "Forced out, I think." Lori says, "With his anxiety, he wasn't strong enough to fight back." Alex says, "Hmm." Lori says, "JJ is stronger. He fights them off every day." Lori says, "Zach was a 3L. JJ is a 4.3L. Alex says, "That's when he yells no?" Lori says, "Yep." Alex says, "Are you going to tell Shish about Adam or Zach?" Shish would be Summer Shiflet, Lori's sister, I'm deducing by reading these this, because next line says, Lori says, "No." Lori says, "Summer's trust level is too low." Alex says, "Okay." So this text is between Alex and Lori. It really looks like they believe this crap. Like they bought this hook, line, and sinker. It just blows my mind. So September 4th, it was when JJ started school at Kennedy Elementary School. And the next day, Lori actually sent an email to Life Academy, JJ's old school in Chandler. And let me read that to you. It says, "Hi, blank and life friends. Since the circumstances in our lives have changed drastically since my husband passed away last month, I have been offered a job out of state and have had to accept it. We have had to move quickly since the job started ASAP. So I'm sad to inform you that Joshua won't be returning this year. You have been so great to get him in this year, and his DDD funding and scholarship have just all finally been settled. I really appreciate all you've done for JJ. I will continue to recommend life to all of our friends like I did with blank. We're doing our best to adjust to our new life. Please let me know what you need me to do to withdraw him. You can email me a withdrawal form or whatever needs to happen. Thank you again, Life Academy. We really loved our time with you. Lori Vallow." The next day, September 6th, 2019, the neighbors in the townhome complex actually take a picture of Tylee, Ryan, and JJ playing with another child. were asked why they took the picture, they said they thought it was strange that the children were using stuffed animals to play in a large puddle of water.
One of the last known videos of missing boy JJ Vallow shows more than you think on the surface. It reveals disturbing details about the days leading up to his disappearance.
News specialist Garner Mejia is back from Idaho tonight, is in the Breaking News Center to give us a breakdown of the video. Garner, what's it show?
Yeah, you know, neighbors say there's more to this video than what we can see. They say they saved it in the first place because they were concerned about JJ's behavior. Now, let me show it to you. They say there was something off and they heard him actually using inappropriate language. As you're about to see, he yells what they say is, "Get the hell out of here."
Then the other boy replies, "Don't say that word. That's a bad word." Both boys run towards JJ's townhouse, and JJ yells something else. Once inside the home, what appears to be a woman's voice is faintly heard saying, "Don't say that word." Detectives mentioned the video in Lori Vallow's charging documents is one of the last sightings of JJ. He was last seen at school 6 days later. Lori's Rexburg neighbors declined an on-camera interview, citing fears for their families, but told KSL that Lori didn't tell them JJ was autistic, something that worries JJ's grandparents. They spoke with KSL today from their home in Louisiana and say JJ's irritable behavior is a troubling sign.
I have never seen him out of that control ever, and there is no doubt that she was withholding his medication for him to act that way. Yeah, and she had a bottle of his medicine.
Yeah, she had a bottle of his risperidone is what they found there.
Neighbors also claim Lori said that JJ was her, quote, niece's drug baby. Kay and Larry Woodcock are JJ's paternal grandparents. They confirmed that he was drug exposed in utero. He was adopted by Kay's brother, Charles Vallow, and his wife, Lori Vallow.
Chilling to me. That is her adoptive son, and for her not to even acknowledge him in that way, I can't wrap my mind around it. I can't, and it just scares me.
There's record after that on the same day of Alex Cox's phone pinging at Chad Daybell's house. He was there that day from 12:41 to 12:53, and he stays in and around the house, or his phone does. His phone doesn't ping in the backyard. On September 7th, for some reason, Lori did access JJ Vallow's app from Life Academy for some reason. She was looking at that, even though she had already withdrew him 2 days before. Now, on September 7th, Lori and Melanie Gibb published a podcast titled, "What is a Baptism of Fire?" Which is kind of creepy, weird, and we'll get into some of this stuff later, but I have been able to follow some of the satanic calendar and rituals, and a lot of the dates line up with a lot of things that happened in this case, but of course that's for another podcast day. On September 7th is also the last time that Tylee had a post on Instagram. This is a statement in the documents, the FOIA documents. Blank indicated that she had a strong relationship with Tylee. They talked on the phone, sent text messages, and communicated regularly using social media apps such as Snapchat, blank, and Instagram, blank. Those, I believe, are their Snapchat and Instagram names, handles. Blank was able to provide usernames for these accounts. Blank informed me that the last Snapchat she saved with Tylee was on August 4th, 2019, and the last Instagram post was from September 7th, 2019. And on the 8th, there's a Venmo transfer from Lori Vallow or Tylee to Colby Ryan. There was a lot of that. They were sending Colby a lot of money for whatever reason Lori did. On September 8th, Tylee's phone pings in Yellowstone National Park at 1:09 p.m. And the FBI say there's footage of JJ in the park as well, walking, running along the walkway in front of the Old Faithful geyser. And as far as the police investigation, it says here, Throughout our investigation, we were able to determine through phone records that Tylee Ryan accompanied Lori Vallow, Alex Cox, and JJ Vallow on a trip to Yellowstone National Park on September 8, 2019. We have obtained a photograph of Tylee Ryan at the park entrance through the National Park Service. Also, through service of a search warrant, Rexburg Police Department has obtained a photo from Lori Vallow's iCloud account of Tylee Ryan in Yellowstone National Park. That is time-stamped on September 8, 2019. This photo is the last time we can find any record of Tylee Ryan being with Lori Vallow. And we've found no witnesses who can verify they have seen Tylee Ryan since September 8, 2019. They go on to say in this document that they drove Alex's silver Ford F-150. They also tracked the GPS cell tower connections and Google account information on Alex Cox's phone that day. Alex's phone pings on the 9th. At 2:42 a.m., his phone pings at Lori's apartment. At 3:37 a.m., he leaves Lori's apartment. At 4:37 a.m., he arrives home. There's no other sightings of Tylee since September 8th, 2019. And September 9th, 2019 is extremely significant. They tracked Alex's phone pinging on September 9th. And at 2:42 a.m., his phone pings at Lori's apartment. At 3:37 a.m., he leaves Lori's apartment. At 4:37 a.m., he goes back to his apartment. At 8:59 a.m., he leaves his apartment. So for whatever reason, somewhere between 3:37 a.m. and 4:37 a.m., where he leaves Lori's apartment, gets back to his apartment, there's an hour gap there. What was he doing? Probably went to sleep, I imagine, from 4:37 a.m. to almost 9 a.m. But at 8:59 a.m., he leaves his apartment. At 9:21 a.m., he arrives at Chad's house. At 10:47 a.m., his phone pings in St. Anthony, which is a neighboring town. We don't know if he left and went somewhere and came back. But he pinged at 10:47 in a neighboring town. At 10:57 a.m., his phone pings at the Daybell property again. And at 11:39, his phone pings at the Daybell property again. At 11:52, so about 20 minutes later, his phone pings at the Del Taco in Rexburg. And then he leaves Del Taco at 12:02. And spends most of the rest of the day, he spends in his own apartment. And the affidavit says that with all the phone pings and all the checking, this is the only time they were able to notice that Alex actually went to Lori's apartment in the middle of the night. On that same day, Chad sends Tammy a message. Tammy, his wife, is at work, and Chad sends Tammy a text. They were able to get this through Tammy's phone. He says at 11:53 a.m. So what was going on with Alex at 11:53? Alex was at Del Taco at that moment. But Chad sends Tammy a text about shooting a large raccoon and burning limbs on the property. That's really significant. Remember that. Chad Daybell at 11:53 a.m. to Tammy. Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all the limb debris by the fire pit before it got too soaked by the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and I got my gun and he was still walking along. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He is now in our pet cemetery. Fun times. Then at 11:56, he says, gonna shower now and then go write for a while at BYU. Love you. And then Tammy says at 2:47 p.m., she replies to this, good for you. And at 2:48, Chad says, I'm back home now. There's also a statement by the by a person by the name of Reagan Price. So this Reagan Price apparently has made a statement that they heard a gunshot the day that Chad was saying that he shot the raccoon. So someone by the name of Reagan Price did say that. It's in one of the communications. Lori had Chad's burner phone listed as Bubby in some of the text messages that they had gone back and found. But one of them I thought was interesting. We're just backtracking for a second. On July 26, 2019, Bubby sent Lori, tonight I figured out who I feel like. I'm a grown-up version of Harry Potter who has to live with the Dudleys in his little space under the stairs. Every few weeks, I get to escape and have an amazing adventure with my goddess lover. But then I have to return to my place under the stairs, feeling trapped, but I sense permanent freedom is coming. So this was all being planned, and that was after Charles was murdered. It was something that I missed along the way in these documents, so I wanted to throw that in here. And because as of November 11th, the documents say there's no more conversations after September 11th between Chad's Bubby burner phone and Lori Vallow. And for some reason, on September 12th, 2019, Lori searches for Charles Vallow's tax return. And then Lori also emails Alex Cox's landlord in Arizona to tell him or her that Alex had been in a car accident and wouldn't be able to return. On September 14th, 2019, there's a photograph of JJ on a ride at Yellowstone Bear World. And that's a place that's very close to Rexburg. It was stored in Lori's iCloud account, so they were able to find that picture of JJ on that date. September 15th through 17th, Zalema Pastinas comes for a visit to Rexburg to visit Lori. At 9:47 a.m., Lori had sent her a message that said, so excited to see you today. We have been there two times to bless you. They really don't want you to come here. It's so important. Zalema says, thank you. Thank you. Zalema replies again, saying, I felt totally attacked last night. And this morning, my alarm didn't go off for the first time ever. That was at 9:48 a.m. Then at 2:26 p.m., Lori sends Zalema the message saying, we are just outside the tent. She's picking her up at the airport is what it appears to be happening here. Right after that, immediately she says, ready to pick you up. It's beautiful today. You did it. And then 1 minute later, Zalema says, I don't see you. Lori says, coming around the corner. And then she says, we had to go around. So obviously at the airport. Had to flip back around because you can't stand there and park, as we all know, at airports. Then at 4:02 p.m., Chad had given Lori a message to give to Zalema, and Lori writes, from Chad, please have Zalema send a message to me that she is in Rigby and wanted to see if I could come listen to her talk tonight about her trip to Chile. He wants you to send him a text so he can come talk to us tonight. So I actually missed this. I was editing right now, and I have to interrupt. Chad wants Zalema to send him a text directly so he has the excuse to show Tammy that he's going to listen to Zalema in Rigby talk about her trip to Chile. So on the 17th at 7:11 a.m., Lori sends a message to Zalema. Zalema's still in town. Clearly, just dropped off JJ on my way to pick you up for the temple now. Be there in 5 minutes. Zalema replies immediately and says, okay, I'm ready. At 7:17, Lori says, I'm here out by the garage. Then she says, come on out. Then later that day at about 12:08 p.m., Lori sends Zalema another message and it says, I loved being with you in the temple today. You are so powerful. Can't wait till you are here all the time. The Lord will guide us. can't wait till you are here all the time. So apparently Zalema was going to move to Rexburg too. And then Zalema replies to her a couple hours later at 12:38 p.m. It was very powerful in the temple today. It was so much fun to be with all of you this weekend. Now I just have to wait until the Lord says it's time for me to go. Then on September 16th, Chad's a guest on Laurie Melanie Gibbs' podcast again. Chad, Dave Al sharing Jesus's love. You can't get these podcasts anymore. They've been completely removed from the internet. But, you know, they're never exciting anyway. Like, stupid. Then on 9/17, Lori Vallow's neighbor in Rexburg, Idaho, captures footage of JJ playing outside. So, again, on the 17th, she captures video. So let's share that.
Kelly Vaughn is actually in Rexburg. She's been following this story from the beginning. Kelly, I know you knocked on some doors. You talked with some neighbors. There are so many bizarre twists and turns in this case. What did you learn today?
That's right. I want to point out that in that press conference in Hawaii, I heard they say, you know, you got to ask those questions to Rexburg police. I tried to do that today. Police said that they weren't talking. They said that their chief and assistant chief weren't even in town today. So we didn't get those answers from Rexburg police either. So like you said, I was knocking on doors. I actually talked with some neighbors who lived with Lori Vallow in her apartment complex here in Rexburg. I spoke with a neighbor who lived right across from her. And she said she was too nervous to go on camera because she says she was afraid of those other cult members of that cult that Lori Vallow supposedly belonged to.
She did share the security footage she had that police used to create a timeline of events. Police say Lori, 7-year-old JJ Vallow, and 17-year-old Tylee Ryan moved into the apartment the first week of September 2019. Doorbell camera footage from the neighbor I spoke with shows JJ playing outside on September 17th. That is less than a week before Lori took him out of school, and he has not been seen since. Fast forward about a month later to October 29th. This footage shows Lori still living in the apartment and another woman coming to visit her. A month after that, police say they visited Lori at her apartment, saying she lied, telling them JJ was with a friend in Arizona. Police say that same night, Lori and Chad left Rexburg. The neighbor told me that she and other families in the complex knew Lori and all of their kids would play together. The neighbor told me that for the most part, Lori seemed normal. She said she was surprisingly open about her adoption of her son, JJ, from another family member. She also says she was surprised at how open she was about the death of her former husband, Charles Vallow. Now, in the 7 hours we've been here in Idaho, so many people have come up to us asking for the latest updates. It just shows that here in Idaho, to Hawaii, and back in Utah, everyone is just wondering what's next for this case. Reporting live in Rexburg, Idaho, Kelly Vaughn, 2 News.
So that gave you a little preview of things to come. But the point was that there was an interview and with a neighbor, and they had their doorbell camera. And the last time they saw JJ on the doorbell camera was 17th of September. So there is a email from Kay Woodcock to Detective Nathan Moffitt on September 17th, 2019 at 10:39 a.m. She says, truck is at Colby's, address below. Forgot to tell you also, Brandon Boudreaux saw JJ and said he's okay. It gives us a little relief to hear that. So that was Kay Woodcock, and it says sent from her iPhone. Now, we don't know how Brandon saw him, if it was FaceTime or what, but that he had, in fact, seen JJ with his own eyes. On the 17th as well, September 17th, Melanie Boudreaux, Brandon's wife, she asks Brandon for his new address. So they're separated at this point. Melanie and Brandon, remember this. This is a important, very important detail. They are separated at this point. Brandon moved out. So Brandon was in the process of moving out, I believe, because the document I'm looking at now, it says the lease agreement showed that the lease began on September 23rd, 2019 for Brandon. And he was able to show these detectives, you know, during this investigation, a screen capture image of a text message from Melanie, his soon-to-be ex-wife, Melanie Boudreau, dated September 17th, 2019. Melanie asked Brandon for his new address, to which he replied by providing the address that he was moving to. Okay, a lot going on September 17th. Melanie Gibb publishes a book titled Feel the Fire. Publisher Gibb Publishing, September 17th, 2019, language English, paperback 100 pages. On September 18th, 2019, a nanny that Lori hires through care.com for what she thinks is a long-term nanny job. So here's the entire Twitter thread from the reporter, Lauren Steinbrecher. She did interview JJ's nanny. And this is the conversation reported on Twitter by Lauren Steinbrecher that her and the nanny had about JJ. So the nanny said, Lori Vallow contacted her through care.com. And the nanny went to Lori's townhome on September 18th. She was very welcoming and she gave me a hug. Their home was clean and had a picture of a temple on the wall. She explained to me as we watched JJ play outside with the neighbor kids, some of his tendencies. He gets emotional easily, frustrated, distracted, has difficulty communicating with others, but can follow orders if you look at him right in the eyes. Lauren's thread goes on to say, she explained to me how they recently moved here from Arizona. Her husband had just died of a heart attack and how JJ doesn't quite understand the situation. Lori said how she and her husband adopted JJ and that he was her nephew. Lori Vallow talked to the nanny about Tylee, her daughter. She said Tylee also lives in Rexburg and is going to college. She said her daughter doesn't like to babysit JJ without being paid, so she wanted me, the nanny, to come work for her. Which makes no sense, right? Tylee doesn't want to babysit JJ without being paid, so I'm going to hire you and pay you. Lori can't keep her story straight. Then the nanny said what Lori said about Tylee. Occasionally, her daughter would come visit for dinner or do laundry, but she never said that she lived there with them. It appeared that only Lori and JJ lived there. From the look of things and from what she told me, is what the quote from the nanny. And then she said, my overall impression of her was that she was kind, but seemed stressed out being a newly widowed mom alone with her autistic son. The nanny said she did come back on September 19th to babysit JJ. And she said, when I walked inside, she mentioned how she was waiting for her brother to come and leave with her to the airport. Said she was going to the Idaho Falls airport. She said her brother also lived there in Rexburg. Lori also mentioned how if she got home later to give JJ his medicine right before bed because it makes him tired fast. She joked about how she liked that because some days when he was extra tough for her to handle, she would give him his meds and have him go to bed early to give herself a break. Then her brother came over and was quiet, just said hello, and then they left. JJ was super upset about her leaving and he went into the garage. The nanny says, I followed him to make sure he didn't block the garage from closing. She says, after Lori left, JJ went to play with the neighbor kids. And then the nanny fed him dinner. JJ tried to leave during dinner. And she told Lauren that Lori had told her that she had to put two locks because sometimes JJ escapes. Eventually, JJ went back to the friend's townhouse to play. When playtime was over, she got JJ from the neighbor's home. We left, and this upset JJ greatly. He started crying and screaming, and I tried to calm him down, distract him with a show, tell him how sometimes people need a break and how he needs to share. He threw a chair from their wooden table down, flipped the ottoman over by their couch, and then ran upstairs. I let him cry for a bit, hoping he would calm down, but he didn't. I felt I should check on him to try to make sure he wouldn't hurt himself or break anything. I quickly found him under the bed in his mom's room. He also had a room upstairs, but from what I remember, it just had toys in it and no bed. Lori's room appeared normal. She had a large bed, bathroom, and it looked clean. although something kind of strange was that there was a small mattress in the corner where JJ slept. It was pretty thin, the size of a twin mattress with sheets and a pillow. There was a mirror hanging above the mattress in the corner. As JJ ran up from under the bed, he went towards the mirror and knocked it off the wall. Hoping it didn't break glass all over the mattress, I picked it up. While doing so, he ran back downstairs. As I went back downstairs, JJ was still upset and said his mom wouldn't want me to come over again, that he hated me and didn't want to be my friend. Shortly after this freakout, his mom, her brother, and the friend walked in from the garage. The mom, Lori, calmed JJ and asked me what happened. I explained the situation and she babied him. She said it was overwhelming the amount of love Lori showed JJ after his breakdown. The nanny met Lori's friend that Lori picked up from the airport, a woman who did podcasts with Lori. She said, I didn't see a suitcase, so I don't think she was staying that long. Obviously, it was Melanie Gibb. Lori thanked the nanny and paid her $40 cash. From what we had talked about yesterday on the 18th when she met her, that was what she seemed to be needing, was nearly daily assistance from me. But this was the last day I saw JJ and Lori. And moving on to September 19th, 2019, there's a Rexburg woman that came forward and said she was on a flight with Chad Daybell from Idaho Falls to Mesa, Arizona on the 19th. The woman said Daybell planned to help a relative in the valley who needed to remodel her home. He said, I hope we can get this work done in that time that before I have to be back. This is all from a woman who sat next to him on a plane on the 19th.
Chad Daybell was sitting in the middle seat right by me.
This Rexburg woman wants to remain anonymous. We'll call her Anna. On a flight from Idaho Falls to the Mesa Airport on September 19th, Anna says she shared a pleasant conversation with Chad Daybell. They talked about their families, religion, and his fictional books about the end of times.
He told me he was not writing those novels anymore about an apocalypse or something. He was just going in a total new direction.
Anna says Chad planned to help a relative in the valley, a woman who needed to remodel her home. September 19th is also an important date for Rexburg police. Detectives say Lori Vallow used care.com to find a babysitter for her son, JJ. RPD says the babysitter did indeed watch him that day. JJ was last seen on September 23rd. His sister Tylee hasn't been seen since September 8th at Yellowstone Park. You clearly see the no trespassing sign here. This is where Chad Daybell lives, a little less than 10 minutes away from Madison County. On his door, it also says he will not be speaking to the media.
So as the babysitter had said, on September 19th, through the 23rd, Melanie Gibb did visit Lori in Rexburg. Now here's a bit of Melanie Gibb's testimony about that trip when she was in the preliminary hearing.
Ms. Gibb, I want to call your attention to, well, do you recall where you were between the dates of September 19th, 2019 and September 23rd, 2019.
Yes.
Where were you?
Rexburg, Idaho.
Why were you there?
I was there to visit Lori. I was also there to be at an event called Firm Foundation.
Okay. Do you recall when you arrived in Rexburg?
Thursday, the 19th.
And do you know approximately when you left Rexburg?
Yes, I left Monday the 23rd around 9:30 in the morning.
When you were in Rexburg, where did you stay?
In Lori Vallow's house.
Do you recall the address of that house?
No.
Do you recall the general location of that house?
It was a townhome. I don't know the name of the street.
Okay. Was that townhome located in Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes.
During that weekend, did you have opportunity to spend time with Lori?
Yes.
About how much time did you spend with Lori that weekend?
Most of the time, except for on Saturday, I spent most of the day, about 10 hours, up the street at that event.
Okay. When you were at Lori Vallow's house, did you ever have occasion to see Chad Daybell there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall approximately how many times you saw him there that weekend?
2, 3, 4 times maybe.
Okay. So you don't recall an exact number?
Not an exact number, but okay. I think every day is probably, except for the Monday.
Okay. And it was Monday, September 23rd?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have occasion to witness Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell interact with each other?
Yes.
How did they interact with each other?
Affectionately.
Okay. And when you say affectionately, what do you mean by that?
Holding hands, hugging, light kissing.
Okay. Did you ever have occasion to speak with, when you were during this, or approximately?
Remember this, Tammy Daybell is still alive and well, and Chad is very married to her on September 23rd.
4-day period in September. Do you ever have occasion to speak with Lori Vallow about the nature of her relationship with Chad Daybell?
Yes, we talked about it often.
Okay. What did she tell you about that relationship?
That they were very much in love with each other and wanted to be together as soon as possible.
Okay. And did you ever speak with Mr. Daybell about that relationship?
Most likely, but I can't recall exact words.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, during that September 19th to 23rd, 2019 period, did you ever see Tylee Ryan?
No.
Did you speak with Lori Vallow about the location of Tylee Ryan?
She informed me that Tylee was at BYU Idaho and mentioned something about being with friends.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When you were during that same period, did you have occasion to see JJ Vallow?
Yes.
Where was he located when you saw him?
He was in the family room mostly, and then outside some.
Okay. When you say the family room, can you be more specific?
The room that's adjacent to the kitchen.
Okay. And what home was that located in?
Lori Vallow's home.
Ms. Gibb, I want to call your attention to the night of September 22nd, 2019. Do you recall what you did that night?
Ms. Gibb, you're facing the state. I'm going to invite you to turn your chair just a little bit so that I can see you.
Oh, this way?
This way, so that I can see your face as you're speaking. I recognize you're answering Mr. Wood's questions, but I need to see your face as well as you're answering. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What did you do the night of September 22nd, 2019?
The night of the 22nd, I was doing a recording with Lori and David Warwick, and we were in the kitchen recording that.
Who is David Warwick?
He is a boyfriend of mine.
Okay. And you said you were recording a podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Was Mr. Daybell there during the recording of that podcast?
No.
Okay. Do you recall if J.J. Vallow was there during the recording of that podcast?
I did not see him. Okay.
Did you see Alex Cox that night?
Yes.
Okay. What did you witness or what did you observe Alex Cox doing that night?
He brought J.J. into the house during the middle of the podcast.
Okay. And did you see him bring JJ into the house?
Yes.
Okay. How did Alex Cox bring JJ into the house?
He carried him in. Okay. And he was asleep.
And that just may have occurred, but I'm trying to get a foundation as to the time again. I may have missed it. And I apologize if I missed it.
Mr. Breyer, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Do you mind pulling your microphone down and then aiming it up at your chin? So there you go. Repeat that one more time.
Judge, I missed the time, and I can't recall which time she said, if she did, when that occurred with Alex sitting the baby.
All right.
I'll lay more foundation, Your Honor.
I didn't know if you did or not. I thought I may have missed it.
Please do.
Ms. Gibb, do you recall about what time Alex Cox brought JJ back into to Lori Vallow's home?
I can say we recorded the podcast between 9 and after midnight, a little after midnight. So someone in between that time.
Okay. You don't remember the exact hour?
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to call your attention to the morning of September 23rd, 2019. What did you do during the morning of September 23rd, 2019?
Upon awakening, I got ready for the day and came downstairs, had a brief conversation with Lori Vallow, and then got into the truck with David, and we drove off to Pocatello.
Okay. What was your conversation? Do you recall the content of your conversation with Lori Vallow that morning?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately what time you had this conversation with Lori Vallow?
Sometime between 8 and 9.
Okay. What did you speak about with Ms. Vallow that morning?
She shared with David and I that JJ was acting with a lot of energy and I'm trying to remember the words, but she recalled him climbing upon the refrigerator, knocking a picture down of Jesus, she said, and then climbing up upon the cabinets.
Okay. And did you see JJ that morning?
No.
Do you know if he was in the house that morning?
No.
Okay. And do you have any idea of where he was that morning?
No.
Okay. Over the course of that weekend, did you ever have a conversation with Lori Vallow about Kay Woodcock?
Yes.
What was the nature of that? Do you remember when during that weekend you had that conversation?
Friday, Saturday. It could have been several of the days. I'm not sure.
What was the nature of that conversation?
She was expressing that she wanted JJ to go live with Kay, and she expressed different solutions. He could either stay with Kay or, I believe, a son of Kay's that had a family already that JJ was comfortable with, or that they liked JJ and it was a good match. I think they had a little girl, and she said that she would express to Kay that he was that she was sick or something was wrong with her, so that she could live with him.
So that who could live with
JJ could live with Kay.
Okay. And at any time after that weekend, did you ever have a follow-up conversation in regards to that subject?
Yes.
Do you remember approximately when you had that follow-up conversation?
It was shortly after. I can't recall.
Okay. What was the nature of that follow-up conversation?
I asked how it went, giving JJ to Kay. She told me that they met up in an airport, and she told Kay that she had breast cancer and that she would need help with JJ for a period of time, and she said it went well.
Okay. So was it your understanding, after that conversation, JJ Vallow was located with Kay Woodcock?
Yes.
And had you ever met Kay Woodcock?
Briefly.
When?
The time that Charles Vallow was moving out of his house in Arizona to Texas.
And who was Charles Vallow?
Lori's husband.
Okay. Ms. Gibb, I'm going to call your attention to the date of November 26, 2019.
David Warwick did show up there as well. She said they were going to that firm foundation lecture or whatever it is. And they also, he was also with her when they saw JJ at Lori's house. So David Warwick did join her in Rexburg at that point. And he did stay in Lori's townhouse with Melanie Gibb.
Mr. Warwick, have you ever met Tylee Reiner?
No.
Have you met JJ Vallow?
Yes.
When did you meet JJ Vallow?
I met JJ Vallow on September 21st, 2019.
Where was that?
That was at Lori's town home in Rexburg.
Okay. Why were you there?
I was invited. I was coming up for a conference, and I was invited to stay there instead of renting a hotel room. And so that's why I was there.
Okay. When did you arrive there?
I arrived Friday night about 7:30.
And you said you were there for a conference, correct?
Say that again.
You said you were there for a conference, correct?
Yeah, the conference was on Saturday. So,
and you attended that conference, correct?
Yes.
While you were there, how often did you see Chad Daybell?
At the condo or over the weekend?
Over the weekend.
Three times that I can recall.
Okay. How many times did you see him in Lori's home?
Mr. Warwick, we have a listening device here. I can tell that maybe you're a little bit hard of hearing.
Yeah, I am.
We appreciate you being here. We want to accommodate you. Do you mind if we try this hearing device to see if it's a little bit easier for you to hear?
Yes, that'd be great.
Going to skip a little forward while he's figuring out that hearing device mic.
Mr. Warwick, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Is that better?
A little, about the same.
All right. Well, let's experiment with it a little bit here. If it's not better, you're welcome to take it off. I want to do all that I can to make sure that you can hear me, hear Mr. Wood, and hear Mr. Pryor when those questions are happening. If there's anything you don't hear, please let us know. We'll speak louder and we'll speak slower. We want to make sure that the testimony and the record is very clear here today, okay?
Okay.
You may proceed, Mr. Wood.
Mr. Warwick, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. I don't recall if you answered my last question. How many times did over the weekend of September 20th through the 23rd, how many times did you see the defendant Chad Daybell at Lori's house?
Once.
Okay. So when was that?
That would be Sunday, the 22nd.
Okay. Did you have opportunity to visit with Mr. Daybell?
I did.
What did you speak about?
I asked him about his relationship with Tammy.
Who was Tammy?
His wife.
Okay. Mr. Warwick, did you see JJ Vallow in Lori's apartment?
I did.
Did you interact with him at all?
I tried to a couple of times.
Okay. How did that go?
It was like I wasn't even there. He didn't acknowledge me at all.
Okay. And you're aware that he had autism, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall the night of September 22nd, 2019?
Yes.
What did you do that night?
we were doing a, I was doing a podcast with Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow.
Was JJ there when you did your podcast?
No.
Did you see him at all that night?
Yes.
When was that?
When he was staying with Alex, and Alex brought him home and carried him to bed.
Okay.
So when the door opened, that's when I...
I think that's me. You were just talking about, I believe, Mr. Cox bringing JJ in into Lori's house.
Yes.
Do you recall what time that was?
I don't recall it exactly.
Okay.
It was later in the night.
Okay. Was Chad Daybell there?
What's that?
Was Chad Daybell there at that same time?
No.
Let's talk about the morning of September 23rd, 2019. What did you do that morning?
I got up to get ready to go. Then I went downstairs to say goodbye to everybody.
Okay. And who was there?
Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow.
Okay. Did you see JJ there?
No.
Did you talk to Lori about JJ that morning?
I did.
What did she tell you about JJ that morning?
She said that he was being a zombie and climbed up on the cabinets, climbed up on top of the fridge, smashed her picture of Christ down, and then climbed up onto the upper cabinets and got between the top of the cabinet and the ceiling.
Okay. And then what did she tell you?
I asked to see him, and she just said that he was out of control, so she had Alex come and get him.
And who was Alex?
Lori's brother.
Okay. Is that Alex Cox?
Yes.
Okay. State has no further questions, Your Honor.
And we will go further into this preliminary hearing later on after the events. I'm trying to just give you a timeline of what the people that did witness things have said and what their testimony was and what was going on based on the witnesses during the time that the kids were disappearing. So that was what that was all about. I was just giving you a glimpse of Melanie Gibb and David Warwick seemed to be the last people that actually saw JJ and their testimony on that. There's also a picture of JJ on September 22nd. It's a picture taken of JJ Vallow sitting on a couch, which appears to be Lori's family room in the townhouse. It was found by law enforcement on Lori's iCloud account. So in this picture, he's in red pajamas, which is significant. Again, on the 22nd, there's money being moved from via Venmo. Venmo is an app where you can send people money. Lori seemed to send Colby money through the Venmo app often. And there is a transfer from Lori Vallow or Tylee Ryan to Colby Ryan's account. Initially, they said that the last day that JJ Vallow was in school was the 23rd. That has been corrected. The very last day that he was in school was the 20th. On September 23rd, 2019, Alex Cox's phone pinged again at the Chad Daybell property at 9:55 a.m. And that pinged was in the yard near the pond. And Alex was at that location from 9:55 to 10:12 a.m. On September 23rd, 2019, there's two photos of ammunition at the gun shop, which is an Idaho gun store, and it's saved to Lori Vallow's iCloud account. Again, 9/23, 2019, Alex went shopping for a coat for his sister, apparently, Lori Vallow. Chandler Detective Nathan Moffitt notes this in reference to how weird Lori and Alex's relationships were. Again, more money on the 23rd from Lori or Ty Lee's account to Colby Ryan's account. Brandon Boudreau's new lease begins on September 23rd. On September 23rd, according to Melanie Gibb, Lori Vallow asks her to take JJ with her when she left Lori's home. Melanie told Gilbert police she declined. On the 24th, there's also a Venmo transfer from Lori or Ty Lee again to Colby. September 24th, 2019, Lori Vallow disenrolls JJ from school, indicating she would homeschool JJ. But JJ was not with her when she took him out of the school when she disenrolled him. So the nanny that she had hired wound up reaching out to Lori on September 24th. This is the day after we're pretty sure JJ went missing. And she responded to me, says the nanny, that JJ was with his grandparents for a month and that she was in Hawaii. She said in about a month, when they come back, that I could work again. Well, once that month passed, I texted her again around Halloween asking if I could work, and there was no response. The nanny was asked, what is your response about JJ going to grandparents' home and Lori going to Hawaii? And she said, I assumed she must have really needed a break from JJ, I guess. And I left it at that. And she said that was the last time she communicated with Lori. Rexburg PD did find JJ's medication with pills still in the bottle during the search warrant of the townhouse eventually. And they were confirmed that the pills were filled back in Arizona, never filled in Idaho. And that September 24th, again, JJ's school was reached out to, and they said Lori came in, she unenrolled him because she was going to homeschool him instead. September 24th is Ty Lee's 17th birthday. It passes. She's not on social media whatsoever. There's no posts from Ty Lee. On September 25th, Alex's phone pings again at Chad Daybell's house. He's only there for 17 minutes, and he stays in and around the house. Agent Ricky Wright of the FBI was asked to analyze the frequency of Alex Cox's visits to Chad Daybell's property during the month of September 2019. The answer was, per your request, I checked the visits by Alex to Chad's house again. There were only 4 visits by Alex during the month of September. These were on September 6th, 12:41 p.m. to 12:53, September 9th, September 23rd, and September 25th from 10:05 a.m. to 10:22 a.m. During the 2 visits of 9:06 and 9:25, all the pings were in and around the house, and there were no pings anywhere in the backyard near the fire pit or pond. As you can see, these visits were also short, about 11 minutes and 17 minutes, like the one on 9:23, 17 minutes. The visit on 9:09 was the only long visit, and it was approximately 2.5 hours. 9-26, 2019, Brandon Boudreau tells Kay Vallow Woodcock Lori moved out of state. He found out this from his son. So this is from Kay to Nathan Moffitt, dated September 26, 2019. Hi, Nathan. Quick note. Brandon Boudreau's oldest son said Lori moved out of state. I think the boy is 11, maybe 12. Nicole sent IM this evening to let me know. What now? If it's true, how does it affect the case? I was about to retain Arizona attorney for visitation. This has substantially heightened my concerns for JJ's well-being. How can you find out if it's true? When can you find out? It could possibly be a ploy for whatever crazy reason she thinks of. Please call me when you can tomorrow. Thanks, Kay Woodcock. On September 26th, the FBI captures some phone data from a Walmart in Rexburg, just minutes from Chad Daybell's home. And there's no real information on that, just that it has something to do with the case. The phone number is redacted, but somewhere Walmart near Chad's house. On September 28th, 2019, Colby, Lori's oldest son, Colby Ryan, has a text exchange with Ty Lee Ryan, or so he thinks, 4 days after her birthday. They were on Dr. Phil, and he had told Dr. Phil that it didn't sound like her. He asked her to call him that night, and she didn't. So here's how the text message goes that Colby is texting Ty Lee's phone. Hey, Ty, happy birthday. I'm so proud of you. I know you've been through a lot. Trust God, it's all going to be okay. T, Ty Lee responds, thanks, Colbs. I love you. Colby commented that Ty Lee would have normally used emojis there. And then he says, hey, Ty, are you okay? She replies, I'm good, just tired. Call you back later. Love you. Okay, call me tonight, please, Colby says. Ty Lee says, I'm at the movies. I'll call you after. And she did not call him. Colby says, Ty, please call me after your movie. I'm so worried. I'm worried about you. Ty Lee says, worried about me? What? And Colby says, I just want to hear you talk. Ty Lee says, okay, this week was just busy. I'll call you soon. And Colby commented that he was confused by this, wondering what a busy week had to do with calling him back. And then he said, okay, please call me tonight if you can. And at some point in late September, there is a conversation between Julie Rowe and Chad Daybell. And apparently Julie Rowe and Chad called each other. And she said, she was asking him about Tammy dying because Chad had been saying that Tammy's going to die. He has these visions that Tammy's going to die in some kind of a car accident. And he had said to Julie Rowe that Tammy was in charge of the finances and covers for, you know, Chad Daybell's wackadoodle books. And Julie Rowe said Daybell wanted to get out of the business, but Tammy wanted to keep going. And he said, I'm ready to get out now. And Tammy doesn't want to get out. When she passes, I'm done. I can't keep doing this. And that's what Julie Rowe reported to the news or the interviews about that. So we will move into October after this. But just to recap, no Ty Lee anywhere after September 8th. The strange pings on Alex's phone in Chad's yard. And then fast forward a couple more weeks, JJ's still being seen. Lori's coming up with excuses, gets a nanny, gets rid of a nanny, tells Melanie Gibb that JJ needs to go to Kay. Then she's going to lie and say she has cancer and she's going to send him. And then Melanie Gibb and David Warwick and Chad and Lori and Alex are all at Lori's townhouse, and the last time anyone lays eyes on JJ is when Alex brings him back into the apartment, into the townhouse, and JJ appears to be sleeping on his shoulder. And as you can tell, this is very horrendous, disgusting, despicable, ominous, and evil. Next week, when we return, we will once again continue with this season 2 and get further into the timeline. Thank you so much for listening to Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult. I'm Kathy Brooks, your host. I am a one-woman show. There are some links in the show notes where you can donate if you'd like to help support my show. I would really appreciate it, and no donation is too small. This episode, The Last Days of Ty Lee Ryan and JJ Vallow, my sources, East Idaho News, Justin Lum, Annie Cushing blog, Annalytics, and KUTV Idaho, and Lauren Steinbrecher. Those are awesome sources for this case. If you want to dig further into it and go down rabbit holes on your own, there's a whole lot of news media and people that are following it that you can get some really good information from. And I'm doing my best to keep this in chronological order, time frame, and rabbit holes galore, because that's what they are. So thank you again for listening to Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult. I'm Kathy Brooks. Stay safe, stay well, and you will hear from me again in 1 week. Bye-bye.